Anglican church leaders from around the world are meeting in North Carolina. One topic likely to be discussed is the relationship between the American Episcopal Church and the rest of the Anglican world. At issue is whether the denomination is too liberal because it ordains openly gay members. Fred Mogul of member station WHYY reports some conservative Anglicans and Episcopalians have developed an alliance to push for changes in the church.
Despite its tranquil name, the Church of the Good Shepherd in Rosemont, Pennsylvania, looks a little bit like a medieval fortress. The dark-stoned, L-shaped church is blocky and Romanesque. Inside, the rector, Father David Moyer, says his parish represents an embattled contingent within the Episcopal Church, those who proudly proclaim themselves conservative and orthodox.
I increasingly find myself, when people ask who I am or what I am, describing myself as an Anglo-Catholic priest or a priest of the Anglican Church, because I believe what the Episcopal Church is setting forth is scandalous and works against the missionary success of the Church.
Formerly a competitive cyclist and now a car racer, Moyer jokes that he's a gladiator, girding himself for spiritual warfare. Last November, he invited a trio of overseas primates, as Anglican national or regional leaders are called, to preside over a confirmation service at Good Shepherd. Moyer excluded his immediate and allegedly ultra-liberal superior, Bishop Charles E. Bennison of the Pennsylvania Diocese.
Hopefully it sent a message to the American Episcopal Church and around the Anglican Communion that this is what will happen if there isn't a return to the faith and order of the church that should bind us together rather than to separate us.
This weekend, as the Anglican world's 38 primates meet in the Blue Ridge Mountains, attention is sure to focus on an unusual alliance between two primates from Rwanda and Singapore and two American Episcopal priests.
I'm a bishop in the province of Southeast Asia.
John Rogers is one of two priests consecrated last year in Singapore. He's no longer an American Episcopal priest in the province of the United States. He's now a missionary bishop, dispatched to his home country and based near Pittsburgh. Another missionary bishop was sent back to his home in South Carolina. Together, the two form the Anglican Mission in America, one of more than a dozen Episcopal splinter groups. Rogers says the radical step is justified on the grounds that the American Episcopal Church has departed from biblical and Anglican teaching.
It's sort of like if somebody is in your swimming pool and drowning, and you haven't invited me into your pool, and I jump in to save them. I suppose you could get me arrested for breaking and entering, but meanwhile, we're saving the person in the swimming pool. Everything depends on whether you think there's anybody in a swimming pool drowning or not.
Rogers' mission is just the latest and most dramatic example of an ongoing tension in the Anglican world. About 30 priests have joined the movement, both with and without their parishes. But neither the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Anglican Church's head, nor America's presiding bishop, Frank T. Griswold, recognize these new bishops. Griswold says Anglican leaders shouldn't meddle in each other's provinces.
The primates really do not exercise the authority, and they don't really legislate. And they really can't unless the various member churches of the Anglican Communion formally invest them with that authority. And some of the extraordinary circumstances that might call for intervention and have in the past are things like the Rwandan genocide.
Griswold's critics say they do have the authority because the American Episcopal Church has exceeded the, quote, limits of diversity by doing things that many other provinces don't. The Americans, for instance, ordain women priests and openly gay members of both sexes. Griswold says these and other innovations are consistent with Christian gospel, and while they might not be appropriate everywhere in the world, they do make sense in modern America.
As we become more and more a worldwide communion, we have to think with a more global consciousness. I mean, for instance, here we are talking about homosexuality in the Episcopal Church in the United States. Let me tell you that civil war, starvation, the pandemic of AIDS is a reality that is far larger and more gripping.
How much does this tug of war matter to the average worshiper in the pew? Sociologists who study American Protestantism think the disagreements matter only to a few politically active Episcopalians. But then again, the history of Christianity arguably is the history of breakaway groups that have started small, grown, and stood the test of time. For NPR News, I'm Fred Mogul in Philadelphia.